Hello, everyone. Welcome to Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Jonathan Grabowski. It's primary season here in the Marshfield area, and joining me is one of the candidates who's running for the Democratic nomination, the 4th Plymouth District, and it is Sean Costello. Sean, thanks for coming on the show today.
John, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be with you here at MCTV.
Great. Well, thanks for coming on.
Of course.
Many people know you in the community. You've been really involved for a long time now. Mm-hmm. So, but for those that don't know and might be watching elsewhere, tell us, who is Sean Costello?
Sure. So in a nutshell, John, I'm a lifelong resident of Marshfield. I grew up here. I went to public school here, graduated from Marshfield High School, a fact of which I'm very proud. And then after I went off to Stonehill College, I came back here to Marshfield and decided that I wanted to give back to my community and utilize my strength and my passion for public service, and I ran for school committee. And I was elected to the school committee in 2015. I've had the honor of serving. Now I'm in my second term, thanks to the people of Marshfield for sending me back to that board. We've done some good things on the school committee, and for the past two-ish years, I've been the chairman of that board, and it's been an honor to serve the people of Marshfield. And my full-time job for the last 4 years has been at the State House as legislative director for a state representative from the South Shore. So all of those factors combined and some other things that I'm sure we'll talk about have factored into why I want to serve as state representative.
Okay. Talking about school committee, why did you run, first off? Mm-hmm. And tell me about some of the accomplishments you've had over that time.
Sure. So I decided to run for school committee because the public schools in Marshfield gave me so much and gave so many other students so much that I felt it was my duty to come back and do my part to advance it even further. There was a woman named Marty Morrison, who's a good friend and a mentor to me, who had been on the school committee for 12 years, had served four terms, and made the decision not to run again. So with a loss of leadership like that on the board, I felt the need to step up and offer my services. It was a hotly contested race that year, but I'm so proud to have won that election and to be serving the town that I love. We've accomplished a whole lot of great things on the school committee, and I'm proud to have played a part in it. As soon as I got elected, the first thing that I did was write a resolution about standardized testing. At that time, the state was arguing whether or not to switch from MCAS to PARC testing, which is the Partnership for the Assessment of Readiness of College and Career, PARCC. It's a whole new type of standardized testing. It was largely technology-based, and it put a whole lot of undue burden on our students and a whole lot of burden on our teachers. We also didn't have the resources at every grade level to implement something like that so quickly. So I stepped up and I said that this was not for Marshfield. We put a resolution together, the first of its kind in the state, and we passed it unanimously, and we sent it off to the State Board of Education. A lot of other communities in the area and across the state ended up following suit, and the state decided to move away from PARC testing and has started to make some updates to MCAS, and we'll be doing technology integration by the year 2019. So that was something that we started when I was elected and that I'm very proud of. Okay. Next initiative I took on was the issue of charter schools. There was a ballot initiative here in 2016 in Massachusetts that would lift the cap on charter schools in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts and allow an unlimited amount to be founded and funded through local public education. I'm not opposed to charter schools exactly. I don't think innovation and new ideas in education is a bad thing at all. And I don't think an option like that is necessarily a bad thing. But what I do think is a bad thing is the funding mechanism for charter schools that is broken. Right now, we have a system where charter schools are paid based off of how many students from a school district go to it, and that district pays to that charter school. Right. It's almost like looking at it as if you've got a family of four. One kid goes off to college, but your utilities don't go down. So we've got so many kids leaving Marshfield Public Schools going to charter schools, but our costs don't go down, and we're losing that money.
Right.
We were losing over $250,000 a year to charter schools here in Marshfield. So I took an active stance in that campaign. Our committee here again passed a resolution saying that we were opposed to lifting the cap on charter schools. And before I knew it, I was doing media availability for the No on Two campaign statewide. I was on Greater Boston.
You know, when I was doing my research for this, I saw you on some sort of WGBH debate.
Yes. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I actually had the opportunity to debate the woman who was like leading the charge for the implementation of lifting the cap. And we had a good, robust discussion. And of course, later on, you know, thanks in large part to advocacy of so many people across the state. Question two was defeated with only 32% of the vote, 38%, excuse me, statewide. Okay. So that was an issue that I got involved with that I'm very proud to have represented Marshfield on. Of course, Marshfield voted 61% against the implementation of lifting the cap. So I was very proud of that, proud to represent 61% of the community there on the statewide level. Of course, the third initiative and the one I'm most proud of that we've accomplished on the school committee under my leadership as chair is the implementation this coming fall of full-day kindergarten. We wanted to do it for years. It's something that parents were talking to on my first campaign back in 2015. It was the number one issue that I heard. It was the number one issue I know Kendra Campbell, who got elected with me. It was the number one issue she heard. And then Heidi Church the year after that. It's the number one issue she heard. And Bridget Boyd the year after that. Number one issue she heard. So it's been something that the community's been pushing for a while. And we started having these conversations as soon as I got on the board. But we wanted to do it in a practical way that didn't cripple our ability to do anything else. So we laid out a plan, and we brought our plan forward this year to the people of Marshfield at town meeting, and we were able to pass full-day universal tuition-free kindergarten for every single student in Marshfield, saving our families $3,000 per student for public education. Mm-hmm. And we were able to do it without cutting positions, without cutting programs, and without going to the town for an override. In fact, we were able to shoulder a new transportation contract. We were able to live up to our contractual obligations in the third year of a teacher's contract. And we were even able to do some other programs this year along with full-day kindergarten, and we only increased our budget 2.2%.
That's fantastic.
That's the kind of leadership and the practical thinking that we need on Beacon Hill, and that's why I'm running for state rep. Okay.
Now, you have some experience on Beacon Hill. You were a legislative director. So tell us about who you worked for and what does a legislative director do?
Sure. So for about 4 years, I worked for Representative Bruce Ayers, who's a state rep from Quincy, represents North Quincy, West Quincy, parts of Wollaston, and then actually four precincts in Randolph. Representative Ayers is a pretty well-known moderate member of the House. He's a kind of guy who takes into account what his constituents think first and foremost and represents them well on Beacon Hill. And for just about 4 years, I worked as his legislative director. I did actually just recently leave my job at the State House in order to campaign for this seat full time. I did that because I think the people of Marshfield and Scituate deserve somebody who's going to give this effort everything they've got to make sure that they know how serious I am about this. But I worked for Representative Ayers for 4 years, and together we accomplished a whole lot. We, as his legislative director, I work with him on writing, filing, and tracking legislation, doing the same with budget amendments every year with the state budget cycle. We respond to constituent services, and we do a whole lot of different things in between. One thing that he really stressed in the office and that I learned right away was super important to him and should be super important to whoever takes Representative Cantwell's seat, is that constituent service is a key, and that we always got back to somebody within 24 hours, no matter whether they called the office or they emailed or however they got in touch with us. We always got back to them right away. That's something that I'd pledged to do as a state rep here for Marshfield and Scituate. But as a legislative director, I learned a whole lot from Representative Ayers. I know how the system works. I know how to advocate and push for a legislative agenda that benefits your district. I know how to bring in important, much-needed funding through the budget process. And I'm the only candidate in this race with experience as an employee at the State House, also the only candidate in the race with experience as an elected official locally. So I think I can utilize those experiences and do some good things for the district.
Well, yeah, let's talk about this race. So why are you running and why this position?
So state representative is a position that can impact your district greatly. It's our most direct voice in state government. And for 10 years, we've been very well served by Jim Cantwell, somebody I think very highly of. He's done an outstanding job bringing in funds. He's addressed seawalls and coastal infrastructure. He's addressed flood insurance on a national level, something that he's done better than almost anybody in the Massachusetts House. He's addressed opiates. But with him leaving and going off to Senator Markey's office, somebody good with experience and with knowledge of how this all works has to step in and continue that fight. And I'm the only candidate, as I said, in this race who has that experience and who's ready to step in and hit the ground running on day one. So a state rep has the ability to impact so much on the local level. And That's why I'm running for this seat, because we can't afford to lose out on having that impact here.
Okay. What is the role of a state rep? I mean, there's probably some people that are watching that aren't familiar with how government works. Mm-hmm. What is the role of a state rep? Give it the basic definition.
Sure. So there's a few different basic job description points of a state representative. First and foremost is they represent their district in the state legislature. So there's 160 state reps from across Massachusetts, and there's 40 state senators. All sorts of legislation and budget amendments and all these items come through the legislature. It's a two-year term, of course, yep. So it's a two-year legislative session. And every year they set the state budget. And, you know, a lot of people believe that at its core, the job of a legislator and the legislature as a whole is to pass good laws. Mm-hmm. But I had a teacher in high school, Jack Scanlon, who used to tell me that is not the number one job of a legislator. The number one job is to make sure that bad laws aren't happening. So a legislator has to be aware of what's going on. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to think critically and read between the lines and look at how something's going to impact us 10 years, 20 years, 50 years down the road. So it's not only to write legislation and to look at the bigger picture, but it's also to represent these communities and vote on other bills and make sure that we're representing the people of Marshfield in Scituate with the values that they want to send us to the statehouse with. And as somebody who's lived in this district my whole life, grew up here, I've been shaped by the values of Marshfield. My mom has worked in Scituate for a number of years now too, so Scituate's important to our family as well. And you know, those values are unique to Marshfield and Scituate. We're a very special community. So it's the job of our legislator specifically to go up and vote with the people of Marshfield and Scituate in mind. Those are the only people that a legislator should be accountable to.
Okay. How do you think your role with the school committee and, you know, being a legislative director of state, how do you think that would be beneficial if you were elected to the position?
So I think I'm a unique candidate in that I have that 4 years worth of experience in state government, doing that full time every day, every week for the last 4 years. And same with the school committee, being on for almost 4 years now here in my second term. I've got that unique blend of local government, knowing how it works here, how we approve our budget here every year and everything that we have to do in between, and how our town government gets things done and the groups that come together. But I also know exactly how it works on Beacon Hill, too, at the state level. I've got some experience actually in college. I had the opportunity to intern full time down in Washington, D.C. in Congress. So combined, I have almost 10 years worth of practical experience in all levels of government. And that's something that I bring to this race that I feel is unique, and it's something that I hope to utilize on behalf of the people of Marshfield and Scituate.
Right. Jim Cantwell held the seat for about 9.5 years, so we can take that as a sign that he was doing a great job and the voters were happy with him.
Yes.
So what's something that, if elected, you would continue that Jim Cantwell, you know, did in his time, and something that you might change, maybe do a little different?
Sure. So I think, you know, there's only one Jim Cantwell. I think that's obvious. I also happen to think there's only one Sean Costello, and we bring our own things to the table. But Jim was outstanding in his advocacy. He's probably the hardest worker I know. The guy's always doing something.
Yeah.
And he would take an issue, and he would run with it. And that's something that I would most certainly continue. He was always very responsive to the people of Marshfield and Scituate. That's something that I will certainly continue. I've been well trained in that, and that's been my job for 4 years. If I didn't do that well, I would have been out of a job a long time ago. So that's something that I think Jim has done very well that I would like to continue. And as I get out there and I meet voters, been knocking on a whole lot of doors, meeting a whole lot of people at different events, it's very fun to know when you wake up in the morning that you're going to meet a whole lot of new people that you hadn't talked to before. And the one thing that I hear from them all the time is that even if they disliked or disagreed with Jim's opinions and certain votes he took, they knew he was accessible. Yeah. They knew he was there if they wanted to talk about it. That's something I absolutely pledge to continue. Mm-hmm. My door is always open. Mm-hmm. I will always explain votes that I take to the people of Marshfield and Scituate. And if they need my help on something, we'll always pick up the phone and we'll always call you back within 24 hours if we happen to miss your call.
What do you think is the one big key issue of this race? You know, the one issue that people are really going to think about or make decisions on?
So I think, so in terms of policy issues, I think we can't really narrow it down to one. If we're looking at issues of just in general, of filling Jim Cantwell's shoes, I think the issue that people are most concerned about is experience and passion for the district. And that's absolutely what I have and what I bring to the table. But in terms of policy issues, I heard from a number of people knocking on their doors their concern for the opiate crisis, the largest public health crisis of our lifetime. It's stealing a generation. They're concerned about coastal infrastructure. They're concerned about the environment. They're concerned about public education. They're concerned about jobs. Jobs is of course something that every legislator needs to be focused on, ensuring that their policies are creating a robust economy in Massachusetts and in our district as a whole. And that's why I'm proud to be actually endorsed by the Plymouth-Bristol Central Labor Council and the Norfolk County Central Labor Council, represent probably over 100,000 working families in this area, because they know that I'm the best candidate with the best ideas and with the vision to make sure that we're creating new jobs, where we're sustaining jobs here that are high paying and serve our families well. And so to have their endorsement, to have the fact that they know that I'm the best candidate to do that is an honor for me.
Going off of jobs, a few years ago, I'm involved with the Marshfield Chamber and the South Shore Chamber.
Yes.
South Shore, a couple of years ago, did a 2030 study.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, they looked at the South Shore from many different perspectives and some of the issues that it's facing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was that we're an aging population.
Yes.
And we have to kind of reverse that.
Mm-hmm.
How do we attract younger people and more business to the South Shore? Maybe not just Marshfield and Scituate itself, but South Shore in general.
Sure. So one of the committees that my boss at the State House 4 years served on was the Elder Affairs Committee. And I can tell you from my work on that committee, we know that in 2020, or by 2020, the number of people 20 years and younger, for the first time in the history of Massachusetts, since it's been kept track of, will be outnumbered by people age 60 or over.
Wow.
And that's a staggering statistic that you don't really think about. But,
no.
Of course, that has so many implications. And you're right. It's not just a problem for Marshfield and Scituate. It's a South Shore-wide problem, which is why we need people who understand those issues and understand how policy impacts this entire region to come together. There's a very good coalition of representatives and senators from the South Shore and from this area who have worked very well together, largely in many ways because of Jim Cantwell and the fact that he could pull people together. But you're absolutely right, is that what legislators need to be doing is working with people like yourself, somebody who is involved with business and with other members of the chamber to come together and find solutions to issues like that, because it is a problem and it is something that we need to look at.
Okay. One of the biggest issues this district is facing is coastal infrastructure,
yes.
Seawalls, flood insurance, the whole gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
You've talked about coastal resiliency.
Yes.
What do you mean by that?
So every year, and we saw it as late as March this year, is that every year we are hit with more frequent, more severe storms. And those are really battering our coastline, and our seawalls are crumbling. Our infrastructure is falling apart. After the big storm back in this past March, I had the opportunity as the chair of the school committee to travel with a small group of people here in Marshfield, including the town manager, the town administrator, and the Board of Selectmen, Representative Cantwell, Senator O'Connor, and Lieutenant Governor Polito came down and surveyed the damage. And we went down to Brant Rock, and in that area, and it's just unbelievable to see seawalls literally cracked in half. You've probably seen the pictures, and of course, we've all seen the pictures of the waves coming over the houses. And coastal resiliency means that we are a coastal community. So many of our homes in Marshfield and Scituate are right on the coast, and the state government can have a unique role in offering mitigation for that. Something that my boss was a founding member of is the Coastal Caucus at the State House. So for 4 years, I did a lot of work with coastal policy. And I can tell you now that there's certain aspects of state government that allow us to devote more funding to that. You know, there's over $100 million put into the Dam and Seawall Fund. It's a state fund that's a competitive fund that people need to get funds for, and the legislator plays a crucial role in bringing those funds home to the district. There's all sorts of questions about making in my first bill that I would even file is to create a similar kind of program that would do low interest loans and even grants to take some homes in a repeated loss in flood zones and help rise them up. Wow. So we're not continually seeing these losses mm-hmm. and ending up paying even more with state and federal programs that have to come in and help these people out. So it's an issue. Coastal resiliency is something very important to my campaign and to me personally. I live in the Wrexham area mm-hmm. of town, and it's something that affects so many people here in Marshfield and Scituate, and our legislator needs to take an active role in continuing to push for those issues.
We've talked a lot about education. We talked about, standardized testing, why public schools are so important, and the charter cap, but also school safety. That's been a hot button issue recently.
Absolutely.
Don't only do our students need to learn, but they also need to feel safe. How would you work about to make sure our students are safe in their schools?
So first and foremost, I can say that the building we're in now, the Marshfield High School that was officially opened in 2014, is one of the safest high schools in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of this building. I was on the campaign committee. I was mm-hmm. the secretary of the campaign committee that got this building built. I knocked probably about 2,000 doors for that campaign personally. And one of our major things was to say that this facility is so much more safe than the Marshfield High School that we had previous. And we are constantly on the school committee looking at how we update our safety policies. Certainly, I can't say certain things to you that we do, but there, people should rest assured that we are doing everything in our power to provide for the safety of our students, not just here, of course, at Marshfield High School, but at Furnace Brook in our five mm-hmm. elementary schools. We have a very good working relationship with Marshfield Police, Marshfield Fire. Chief Tavares, Chief Hawking are great partners for us here. Our superintendent, Jeff Granatino, who's an awesome superintendent, is in constant communication with them. So school safety is first and foremost on our mind here, and it's something that I've been focusing on for 3 years. We just recently, in a capital budget, were able to put in some new safety measures at our schools. But a legislator can play a role too, because we need to make sure that we're keeping our students safe and bringing in funds that can keep our students safe and implementing policies at a statewide level that keep our students and our populace as a whole safe.
How about affordable education, especially at the higher, the higher education level, state colleges and universities? How do we continue to make sure they're affordable for students? Because the cost of higher education is just...
It's not affordable.
Yeah, it's not affordable.
It's not affordable. Yeah. I can tell you now that I went off to a private school and was able to get some loans when I went to Stonehill. Mm-hmm. I'm still paying those. I'm going to be paying those for 20 years. Right. It's breaking the backs of our students, and it gets worse and worse every year. We see students graduating from Marshfield now who are going off to great school. Our state schools in Massachusetts are some of the best state schools in the country, and we should be very proud of that. But the cost continues to rise every year. So that's something a legislator absolutely needs to be cognizant of. We give state loans to our students, but the interest rates are so high.
Yeah.
It's like we're profiting off of our kids going to school mm-hmm. and furthering their education, which in most fields is almost a requirement now mm-hmm. that you can't not go to college and work in certain jobs. You have to have a degree. So if we're saying that to our students, that in most fields you need to have a degree in higher education, mm-hmm. but then at the same time we're making money off of these loans, there's a problem. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, I'm living through that experience now. So mm-hmm. that's something that I'm definitely aware of.
The opioid crisis is something that everyone's focused on. Mm-hmm. It's, not only preventing it, but also mm-hmm. working with people that are struggling with it. Yes. How do we tackle this large problem?
This is a problem that every facet of our community, not just in Marshfield and Scituate, but in Massachusetts, and the entire United States needs to come together and solve. And certain parts of Massachusetts are ground zero for the opiate crisis. We're losing thousands of people per year, most of them younger people. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's impacted my family personally. Mm-hmm. It's something that's impacted, I think everybody's been touched by it. Every door that I knock on, every person that comes up to me at an event mm-hmm. has a story. Whether it's a close friend or a family member or a son or a daughter. I talked to a man the other day who's an EMT. And he was telling me all those horror stories of the people that he will pick up, and they're people who have OD'd multiple times. Mm-hmm. And it's something that our community needs to come together and solve, and we can't do it with just one policy, one law. Yeah. We need to invest more in treatment options, but we also need to invest in prevention. And to do that, we have to think outside the box. You look at Joe and Carol Schrand, two Marshfield residents who have created Drug Story Theater, which takes young kids who are going through recovery and puts them on stage and travels to high schools and middle schools across Massachusetts and shows the kids the dangers of opiate abuse through their own stories as a theatrical performance. That's something that deserves some state funding, I think. And then you look at, there was a woman that I worked with from Quincy who runs a program called Let It Out. Mm-hmm. Her son passed away from addiction and overdosed a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And since then, she has worked tirelessly to grow this program. And what it does is she's an amateur, just for fun, boxer.
Yep.
And she will rent out a gym using her own money.
Wow.
And allow people who are impacted directly by addiction, people whose families have been impacted, to come and let out their aggression, I guess, in a way that's not sitting around in a therapy group, because that's helpful for many people, but for some, it's not enough. Right. And she's been doing a whole lot with that program, and she's a nonprofit, but that deserves some attention as well. From an education standpoint, we need to educate our kids more on the dangers of drug addiction. Right now in Marshfield, something I've been working on for a number of years and pushing for, is we don't have a required health curriculum at the elementary level because we don't have the funding for it.
Right.
The state does not tell us we need it, but the state does tell us we need a whole lot of other things, unfunded mandates that we have to pay for. And in our budget, we can't afford the even just $60,000 for the salary of somebody to do one day a week at each of our five elementary schools. Right. For fifth grade health curriculum in a sensitive way that's not scaring the kids, but that's making sure that they know the dangers of drug addiction and ensuring that they have that exposure to it at an early age so they know to stay away from it. There's so many different facets of the community that need to come together. And for the last year or so, I've served on the board of Marshfield Facts, and we're of course under the leadership of Jen Cantwell and Ann Kelly and a number of other people. They're doing a whole lot of good things to create more awareness in the community, and but there's certainly so much more that needs to be done. I give a whole lot of credit to the Marshfield Police. There's this program that in just our county was recently created a few years ago called Project Outreach, which is when somebody overdoses, they'll have within 24 hours, once that person is released, they'll have an officer and a health worker go to that person's door in plain clothes and say to them, listen, here are your options in case you're interested in recovery options, and we can help you get there.
Okay.
That's something that we need to be investing in more as well. And the state budget process did just yield about $100,000 for that program.
Right.
And that's the first year that it's been funded, but it's been going on for a number of years now, and legislators just recently started pushing for it. That's something we need to be pushing for more as well.
Great. Got a few. Got like two more minutes here. I just want to wrap up a few quick things.
Yep.
So, we'll do some fun stuff. So, what's one thing about you that people might find interesting?
Oh boy. Huh. That's a good question. Well, people might find it interesting that about a year ago this week I shaved my head. I think that's something that I would find interesting. I don't know why that's the first thing that pops
that's
in my head.
Good. We'll
I play guitar. That's
go.
Interesting. That's a nice little stress reliever to just get home.
Well, segueing into that, if we were to take your iPhone, iPod, whatever you have for music device, what music will we find on it?
You'll find a whole lot of Bruce Springsteen, a whole lot of Billy Joel, some of the good stuff like that.
Okay. If someone wants to find out more about you, where can they go?
They can go to my website, seanforrep.com. That's SEANFORREP.com. I also have a Facebook page, Sean Costello for State Representative. Mm-hmm. More than happy to interact with people on either one of those sites. I encourage people to go there and learn about me. There's a whole lot we didn't get to talk about. Of course, my involvement with the schools at a different level with youth and government program I'm very proud of at the high school. The playground we just built in Rexham Beach parking lot. So there's a whole lot that you can learn about that I've been proud to be involved with, and things that I'd like to continue doing as a state representative.
And last but not least, why are you the best candidate for this position?
Oh, I think I've said it a few times here, and I'll happily reiterate it, is that my experience speaks for itself. Almost a decade of combined experience in every level of government, full-time employment. And my leadership on the Marshfield School Committee, getting results for this community, bringing full-day kindergarten to this community after it was talked about for almost 10 years, and doing it without an override, doing it without a massive increase of our budget. My experience speaks for itself, but I think my passion for this community speaks for itself as well. I love Marshfield, I love Scituate, and I hope to have the honor to represent those communities on Beacon Hill.
Well, Sean, thanks for coming to the show. We want to wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, John. Right. Appreciate the time.
And that's all the time we have for Meet the Candidates. And until next time, make it a great day.